Did you get your hour?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
Gotcha.
I got screwed out of one 2 hours ago, and then I forgot to stand up this past hour. My watch is just dominating me right now.
Gotcha.
Still got 9 more I got to get before the end of the day. Gosh.
You stupid idiot.
I don't think I can do this hour.
Nope.
I'm disappointed. I'm going to Washington. Oh, no, I'm going to Cupertino. Going to Apple's campus. We're going to have a talk.
We'll have a talk about how they didn't remind you.
Give me credit.
Give me credit right now.
J Martin Ramon, 104.5 Zone on Twitter at J Mart and Ramon. 11-year NFL veteran and Vol for Life, Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin. Didn't play in the NFL. Not a veteran. Just a radio host. Jonathan Schaefer behind the glass. That's the triumvirate of terror. That's your Voltron with you for another hour. We've got Emily Proud, WKRN, joining us next segment. Look forward to that conversation. Pecorine.
Yeah.
If last night was it, he got the moment that you want as an athlete. Saturday night when they won 3-1, you knew you were going to have this opportunity. It kind of became Pecorine day, and then it was Pecorine night. Had 30 saves. Looked like you want to see Pecker look. You don't want to go out and be that be your night. And lose and struggle and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't a game that you needed, but you won easily.
Mm-hmm.
Moving to the playoffs. A little bit of Preds fever right now, kind of joining the fray. It may be a short trip to the postseason, but making it is an accomplishment.
Yes,
Pecorine's 15-year career, massive accomplishment. Just a really cool night. You know, you look at just the recent handful of years here in this city for sporting moments.
Mm-hmm.
The draft. Last night, I think, would qualify. The Stanley Cup run, that playoff run for the Predators was so much fun to be here for a few years ago. You've had a couple of Derrick Henry highlights. You've had a couple of big Titans wins at home.
Mm-hmm.
You beat the Bills when the Bills were rolling last year. You beat Mahomes in his comeback game. There have been a few of those as well.
But there's the Music City Miracle.
The Music City. Well, we're talking way back now. I'm just talking about the last handful of years. But yeah, certainly that's the top of the heap. You've got Vanderbilt's success.
You got Tannehill coming in.
And I mean in baseball, by the way. Yes. You've got Tannehill coming in for Marcus. You've got Vrabel's era beginning as a head coach. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot, but last night is certainly one that's gonna go down as one of the more beloved moments in this city sports history.
Yes, no doubt about it. And the thing that everybody's celebrating is Pekka in the sense that just give you two other legendary guys that didn't get the walk off the way they should have. Phillip Rivers, not really. Drew Brees, another one. You know what I'm saying? That just didn't get the walk off they deserve. I know Drew had his moments on the field. I think it was him and Tom Brady and whatnot, but there were still questions of if he was coming back. I think with Pekka's right now is kind of like, take a bow, sir. And that's one of the coolest things you can have in sports, man. Because at the end of the day, just perspective on it, like, as a player, you even question yourself when it's all done. Like, dang, was it worth it? You know what I'm saying? Like, was I loved? Was I the guy that the crowd wanted? Not in the sense that you're trying to just please everybody. There's going to be some people that hate you regardless. There's some people that probably didn't like Pekka in the sense of, you know, we need somebody new, that type of thing. But as a player who's been in an organization as long as he has to help be, what do you want, a fixture? We're putting him up on Mount Rushmore.
For sure.
To be celebrated the way he is last night, even before last night, and the day after, I'm sure, time to come, he's going to be a guy at any event he wants to if he doesn't go back to his home country and continue to play more. But I think today he feels that love. You know what I'm saying? So that's a real cool thing to be able to take your bow. In moments like these.
And you hope, just in terms of like the way I would script it, if I were making the Pecorine movie, this is the end.
Yeah.
Now you go back to your home country, you play internationally, you do that for the love of your mm-hmm. nation and everything else. But in terms of your National Hockey League career, last night kind of becomes the final salvo to an unbelievable Hall of Fame career. And one that's never going to be forgotten by this city because, mm-hmm. again, I think that you can't tell the story. Here's a good litmus test for Hall of Fames or certainly carving your name into rocks or having statues. Can you tell the history of that franchise without that individual?
Mm.
You can't even begin to tell the Nashville Predators story without Pecorine. Not even close.
That's a strong take right there. A solid take. Ain't strong. It's not a take. It's a great statement. When we're talking about Hall of Fame, yeah, Jay. That's one way to justify that. Can you build that program without that name?
Or can you tell the history of the league without that person? And again, Pekka passes that test. If you're putting somebody in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, if you can tell the story of the league without that person, they're not in the Hall of Fame.
Right. No, it's got to be eras, man, like controlling an era. That's what Hall of Fame is.
If you're writing the book about the National Football League, can you tell that story without Eli? Can you tell that story without Phillip Rivers? Can you tell that story without, like, that? I'm talking about the guys that are sort of on the fence. Eli's going to get in because he won multiple Super Bowls. Rings.
Yeah. Oh, you know the storyline for Eli, just as segue, is he stopped Tom. That's what you're going to say. Without him, Tom is already, what, close to 10? You know what I'm saying? So it says the significance of him and his team, technically. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good pivot right there. Is can you tell the story without him?
Yeah, can the story of the Predators franchise be told without Pekka? Not even close.
Not even close.
He's in the first chapter.
Yeah.
He's probably in the foreword. He's in the introduction. He's discussed in the first paragraph.
Yeah. And I think that's the base also for why you put Eddie and Steve there too. You can't tell the story of the Titans. Titans, no. Absolutely not. Just like you can't tell the story about Warren Moon and the Oilers without him. Like, yeah, that's wild.
There are guys that are synonymous with franchises for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Steve and Eddie. I think we're getting to where Derrick Henry is going to be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
We need a little bit more before we can put an A.J. Brown or somebody like that on the list. But you look at guys, now you can go back eras. Now you can look at Bruce Matthews. Now you can look at some of these other guys, Javon Kearse, certainly, Chris Johnson. Like, there are, like, if you're looking at the Titans franchise, there's no way to write the book without this, without mm-hmm. this. And even Dyson may make that list then, because you're getting to the Music City Miracle and everything else. And certainly Wycheck is way up there on that particular list. It's not the single litmus test. But you better be able to pass that to make any kind of argument towards any kind of Hall of Fame, Ring of Fame, all of that kind of thing. Pekka passes every single one of those challenges with flying colors.
Yes, 100%. That is a cool sentiment right there when you're talking about who deserves to be in the Hall, Jay, or who deserves to be in the Ring of Honor, stadium to stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Is the freaking the circle of fame in Nissan?
I actually am not sure.
Yeah. As far as building, you know what I'm saying? Building around the guy. He was a guy at least in the forefront of the Tennessee Titans.
He's in Florida's Ring of Honor.
Oh, 100%. I knew that. That's interesting right there, Jay.
We're asking whether or not Kearse is in the Ring of Fame.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He helped bring notoriety here.
Oh, yeah. He was spectacular.
Yeah.
He was here. He played 7 years. But, yeah, I don't think he's there. I don't have the full list in front of me. I can try to find it. But I do think that any discussion of the Predators begins with Pekka Rinne. And then you can start talking about Barry Trotz, and you can talk mm-hmm. about David Legwand, and you can talk about Shea Weber, and you can talk about a lot of these guys. But Pekka, if you say Predators, who's the Hulk Hogan? To go to a pro wrestling analogy, you didn't know, okay?
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know pro wrestling, you still knew Hulk Hogan. 100%. You don't know the Predators in Nashville because you're not a hockey enthusiast, right? You're not paying attention to it on a daily basis. But I'll bet you there's a decent chance you've heard the name Pekka Rinne 100%. Before, and you're at least familiar enough to know he plays for the organization.
Mm-hmm. Javon not in the Titans ring.
Okay, I didn't think so.
That's something to be discussed. Okay, interesting. But, yeah, you can't mention the Predators without him.
No. 100%. I mean, you can't even begin to talk about
him. He'll have one of the highest sold jerseys still, even in his retirement from the NHL. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to buy a Predators jersey, which I've considered on different occasions, Pekka would be the one.
And you're going to be looking for the next Pekka for years to come.
Yeah. And, look, Saros looks great. Saros looks like he can take that mantle. I mean, if Saros is anywhere near – if he's able to keep this up for a long period of time, I mean, this is like going from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
This is like going from as good as you could possibly want somebody to be with all the hardware other than a Stanley Cup, but at least reaching a Stanley Cup in Pekka's case, going to somebody else.
Yeah.
Going to somebody else that's extremely good that you feel like can carry that mantle effectively.
That's the beautiful thing about sports, man. You got to show and prove, and when you do, you will get your flowers. Again, not many get to walk off like this. Win, lose, or draw, whatever happens in this in the playoffs, he's done well enough to do whatever he wants here or anywhere else, man. That's a beautiful thing. Not many get this. I can't continue. I can't say that enough. Not many get to walk off like this. Only thing missing again is what? The ring. But when you mention HOF, Ring of Fame here, whatever you want to call it here at the Stone, like, that's a beautiful thing, Jay.
Yeah. I see Schaefer kind of talking about Kurse, and I tend to agree. Like, Kurse was more of a flash. It was a fairly bright flash.
It was a remarkable 3 years. And then he was injured, had another good year, and then he left for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So the flash was as bright as the sun.
Yes.
Of a flash.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can't put him in the Ring of Honor unless you have several other go before
him. I agree. I agree. That's why I didn't want to say for sure that he went in, but I didn't think he was.
Bullet goes in before him.
Okay, yeah.
B-Hop goes in before him.
For sure.
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
And that's no offense to Javon.
And certainly his talent was obscene.
Because that flash, that three-year run was incredible.
You just got to know where you are. You feel me?
Yeah,
as far as a player, like, yeah, he's got to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I
think Javon does understand.
Yeah, I don't think he's mobbing to get into that role either way. Good.
Mason would be before Kurse in that ring.
Who would?
Derek Mason. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
That makes sense.
Emily Proud, WKRN, is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about this very topic. We'll certainly talk about Pekka and what he means to Nashville and what it was like, what that experience is, and what it's been for such a long period of time. We'll jump into a lot of different conversations with Emily. She's next here on 104.5 The Zone. Little Stone Temple Pilots, Interstate Love Song. Welcome back, Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. On Twitter at Jay Mart and Ramon, where you can find us there. We've been talking a lot of Pekka today. We talked a little bit of Tebow today.
A little bit of Tebow, a little bit of Urban.
Mike Garafolo, the NFL Network, says Rodgers has talked to several players about joining him elsewhere after he leaves Green Bay. Ian Rappaport says the Packers have made a significant long-term contract offer to Rodgers, but, quote, the two sides are not in a good place, unquote.
That means he's done with them or what? Was it the money or what is this? What does this contract even look like?
Yeah, I don't know.
40?
I know that the one thing I've heard is the only way he will go back is if they fire basically the entire front office. Can you imagine a quarterback getting power. You can't. I don't think you can do that.
I ain't going to say it's too much power because the players run the league. I'm a former player. But in the world of like.
No, it's too much power.
You're handing
it's
over
a
the
lot
keys.
Of power, man.
You're handing the keys over. Even if you get rid of one.
Look, if TB12 don't have that power, Aaron Rodgers don't have that power.
Why is he even doing it then? Is what I'm. Oh, my.
Because he's a jackwagon,
huh? He's a real cold piece of work, man, is what he is. Like, I'm all for rebellion and doing your thing. Like, yeah, man, go get it. But it's too much he's affecting as far as his other teammates, though. Like, that's my point. It's like, all right, well, if you ask for that, man, I need an extra $3 million on my contract then. Come on. You pull this off? Well, guess what? I'm going to do what you did. Like, If they fire one, they've lost the franchise. I'm gonna be honest with you.
If they fire Gutekunst, then you realize who runs the show.
They're done. That is not a publicly owned organization at that point. That is Aaron Rodgers Inc. is what that is.
That's right.
In this
situation. Some people will sign up for that.
Yeah, a lot of people will sign up for it, but you trust Aaron Rodgers to run the organization when I don't even want to get into his family dynamic, but because people have their family issues. Every player has their family issues, okay? Every player does in some type of capacity. Money and family, all that type of stuff. But we're talking about not talking, no communication.
Man, Olivia Munn wrecked that whole thing. Olivia Munn helped Aaron Rodgers add to the chip on his shoulder and added the family to the chip.
Did he marry her?
No.
What are we doing here?
Hey, man, it's a different universe.
If Aaron Rodgers is in a position to get rid of one of those front office people, Green Bay is probably set back. They're UT as far as organization goes.
And truth be told, if they let the guy go now, it's going to be perceived as that anyway.
They can't win.
If he wasn't on the chopping block before, he can't all of a sudden be there now unless you want to agree to Aaron Rodgers being dictator of your entire franchise at that point. And I get it. He's really good.
But for how much longer?
You want to talk about a slippery slope? Way off. And I don't even think you ski, Moan.
No, I don't. I would lay down on a snowboard and just go down the hill. That's where I'm at with it.
That might be fun.
That could be fun, too.
Could be fun. I'd just probably take a sled if I'm going to do that. I don't know how that would work with a snowboard. We threw
skis out there, and I was, hey, I'm going to make it work.
Without a stick.
We saw that Saturday night,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we did. Skating without a stick, in fact. Let's bring in Emily Proud, WKRN, our friend. Emily, what's going on?
What's up, Em?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing good. So what did last night mean to the city of Nashville, Pekka getting his moment?
Oh, it was perfect. I mean, you could not have scripted anything better for a more deserving, you know, not just player, but human being. I think that was evident in his victory lap around the ice. I mean, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of players get to say that. Not a lot of players get that walk-off moment. Typically, when your career ends, it usually ends in a loss, unless you're walking off a Super Bowl champ like Peyton Manning did. So it was chef's kiss, perfect.
What does it mean for the Preds moving forward, though? You have a guy who's a pillar in this organization, and will it get to a point to where they really build up and try to find a way to, you know, just build off of what he left behind?
Yeah, I mean, you see the product of it already, and you see Saros. I think that UC's kind of joked before that Pekka's like a dad to him, and that he's mentored him throughout this whole process. And what a better guy to learn from in Pekka Rinne, not just from the on the ice thing, but I think the impact that he's made in the community is incredibly evident and something that should be an example for the Predators moving forward. And I think what was also kind of obvious last night is Pekka's still got some hockey in him. I don't know if it's here. Mm-hmm. I know that some of the guys joked afterwards that, you know, that was fun, but it's really awkward when we do it again next year in game 82 when he has another send off. And so I think that, you know, just him being around, you know, the organization and eventually, you know, maybe if he goes back home and plays there, I think that's kind of the expectation. Hopefully he will be able to come back in some capacity because, you know, it's not just Nashville. Nashville mm-hmm. just loves Pekka Rinne. But what's kind of funny is I was thinking about this from the standpoint of what we saw kind of with John Fulkerson in that, you know, he had that really emotional send off and his senior day. And he said, I don't think I can do that again. Mm. And then he got elbowed in the face twice and did not get the walk off that he wanted. And he said, that's why he came back. Well, Pekka got an absolute storybook, perfect ending with, you know, with the win, with the qualifying for the playoffs. You know, with this team really turning things around. I mean, it wasn't just the shutout. It was 5-0 to one of the best, if not the best teams in the National Hockey League. And so I think that doesn't bode well for him wanting to return because there's not that, you know, kind of unfinished business that John Fulkerson talked about. But if they make a run in the playoffs and you know, make some noise, I could see him potentially. It's all up to the Predators at this point, whether or not he comes back.
So we're in a state where hockey wasn't big until the Preds, and you have a guy like Pekka Rinne who is, you know, just one of the most important figures in this organization. And I'm sure you've seen it because you're around the city and just everything that has grown around the Preds as far as we've seen. From my understanding, there's a school here for hockey. There's hockey clubs around. What has a guy like Pekka and the Preds done for a place in the South like Nashville for youth hockey also?
Oh, everything. My colleague who you guys have had on many times, Kayla Anderson, did a story a few weeks ago about an international hockey tournament that was being held at Ford Ice Center in Antioch, something that, you know, she talked to the organizers and they said, we handpicked Nashville. We wanted to be here to host our international hockey tournament. And a decade ago, that would have been absolutely laughable. Why would you go to the South? Why would you go to Nashville for that sort of thing? I do think Pekka has been a huge part of that in terms of growing the Predators brand within the city of Nashville and through the Southeast. And I think that, you know, it's not just what he's done in the community, but, you know, what they've done, again, on the ice and making that Stanley Cup Finals run was absolutely unreal. I mean, until the draft happened, I've never seen Broadway look like that before. Mm-hmm. It clearly captured a city, and you know, everything that the Preds have done to integrate themselves into the Nashville community through the work that Pekka's done with the Children's Hospital, with all these various outreach, you know, things that they've done, and bringing in all these special nights that they do at games and everything. And I mean, it used to be, I would say maybe two, three years ago, it was like the hottest ticket in town. I think obviously with the pandemic and everything, it's changed a little bit, but you couldn't get into a Predators game unless you're willing to shell out $300-$400. I mean, that was the place to be. You saw country music stars mm-hmm. there. You've seen, you know, all sorts of people just really wrap their arms around the Nashville Predators. And I think a lot of that circles around Pecorine and how he's just so easy to root for.
Emily Proud of News Channel 2 joining us on the line. Emily, is it selfish of me to kind of hope last night is it? I mean, he has the right to do whatever he wants. He certainly earned that right. But going back home to his home country, if he wanted to, and playing internationally, I think that would be really cool. But I agree with you. I mean, if I was writing the movie, if I was writing the screenplay, last night is perfect. And it's so hard, I know, for an athlete that still thinks they can go to walk away. But I'm just like, gosh, I hope you realize that was the perfect last page for your book. Now, if they go win the Stanley Cup and you're part of that, mm-hmm. then that makes it even better. But in terms of your own individual career, you've got nothing left to prove. You're one of the most important figures in the history of this city, and especially on the sports side of things. I just kind of hope that's it.
Well, it depends on who he is from a competitor standpoint. I mean, how many years could we have said that about Tom Brady? And yet he continued to come back and continue. You know, he doesn't need to prove anybody anything. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Pekka is he's done enough. But that's not how athletes and, you know, competitors think. They always think there's a little bit more. And so the only thing that I'm kind of holding on to about last night is the fact that he played out of his mind and played so great. If I'm Pekka, I'm sitting there in net with a shutout and 30 saves against one of the top teams in the league, and I'm thinking, I still got this. You know, I've still got something in me. And although that was, you know, likely his last start in Bridgestone Arena, there could be a potential for him to play, obviously, in the playoffs if he needs to come in. And if he makes some noise there, that could be, you know, a good insurance for the Predators as well. But it's all, you know, contingent on what the team wants to do, and then also, too, what kind of role Pecorine wants to play. If he wants to be that starter, you know, that's probably more than likely not available for him in Nashville.
Yeah, just as a whole, though, you know, you're just talking about opportunity. So I got to ask you because it's out there, okay?
I knew
I was going, Jay.
Oh, no.
I got to take you down this road if you don't
violence.
Mind. What about the opportunity for Tim in Jacksonville? Will he be QB1 or is it Trevor at this point? Because
they're saying
tight end. But is it QB1 or TE1? Tell us.
Neither.
Broadcast one.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, we're all losers in this situation. We've got to keep talking about it. No, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm born and raised in East Tennessee. Definitely someone that bleeds orange. So you're raised to love Peyton Manning and hate Tim Tebow.
Yes, ma'am.
But he is a difficult human being to hate just from the standpoint of all the good that he does. And he's, you know, incredibly kind. And I've met him before, and he's, you know, everything, you know, that's been said positively towards him is absolutely true. But I mean, this is funny because this kind of reminds me of the DK Metcalf situation where everyone said, you know, you have two parties. This is disrespectful to track athletes. And then the other side that's like, oh no, he can totally do this. He's just a competitor. And I think we went away from that event, you know, having kind of won on both sides. DK proved that he is an absolute freak of nature. If you didn't already know, now you really know. But then it also proved that these track athletes are on a whole other level. The fun part about this Tebow tight end experience is, you know, when you line up next to somebody and you race, not a lot of contact. If I'm a tight end battling for a spot in camp, I'm taking this as an opportunity to, you know, almost a welcome to the league to a rookie moment and say, you know, we hit a lot harder than you've probably been hit as a quarterback. And so if I'm a tight end battling for a spot, I am making it my mission to teach Tim Tebow what really goes into being a tight end for sure. I mean, I can't wait to see some video of that at a camp, but again, it's the whole competitor mindset. You know, everybody's saying he just wants to be in the spotlight, but who's to say he just has unfinished business and wants to prove that this is something that he can do? I mean, you know, he had a great job at ESPN. He could have just wrote out the rest of his career that way, but instead did an absolute, I mean, one of the toughest grinds in all of professional sports in trying to go through minor league baseball. He wanted to prove, you know, I don't know if it was doubters or maybe himself. And then now he's going back into the NFL as a tight end, which is something that a lot of teams wanted him to do, you know, about a decade ago, but here he is back at 33.
So let's stay in the division. Let's stay right there in Jacksonville. Urban Meyer, the decisions that he's made thus far and the way in which he seems to be trying to make an NFL team under the same guise of the way he ran a college team. How bad does this look right now in terms of projecting into the future how he's going to work as an NFL head coach?
Doesn't look good. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the not talked about part of this whole Tim Tebow situation is, you know, the reason that I'm kind on Tebow is because he's being granted this opportunity. It's one thing to, you know, to want to do this. It's another thing for someone to actually give you that opportunity. So I'm looking on Urban Meyer and saying, why are you allowing this? You know, especially with a rookie quarterback who you want to come in and to, you know, galvanize the locker room and to be that leadership role and to for it to all be about him. Now you're bringing in a distraction in the locker room and a guy who's, you know, by all intents and purposes, not even good enough to make the actual 53-man roster. You're bringing him in. It just it doesn't make sense. And the way that you talked about it was he's looking at it from a college mindset. You know, there's been reports saying that he just wants that kind of presence in the locker room, the leadership that you bring with Tim Tebow. I don't think that's necessarily, you know, as big a deal in, you know, the NFL as it is in college to bring in those kind of leadership positions, because it's one thing for Trevor Lawrence, who is known as a great leader, who's going to be, you know, the starting quarterback who's in that leadership position by default of the position that he plays. It's another thing for tight end 8 to come in and try to, you know, regroup the troops. That's just not the same thing. And so I think, gosh, Urban Meyer is certainly making the Jaguars interesting, which I thought was a difficult task, but well done.
You were dropping some hot fire today, okay?
That was exactly right. I agree 1,000,000% with that whole answer.
So just to, you know, continue with the NFL, how excited are you for this NFL schedule drop tomorrow?
I'm just excited for the team Twitter accounts. They've been stepping up their game lately. I'm excited. There's the Tecmo Bowl. We saw the football is coming and the Game of Thrones reference a few years ago with the Falcons. I mean, I'm psyched to see what these teams got. And, you know, we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing the Titans play the Jags Thursday night, week 3.
Thursday night, week 3.
So we've been doing fun Mount Nashmore thing because we saw a lot of people on Twitter last night in the wake of Pekka saying, all right, you got Steve, you've got Eddie, you've got Pekka. If we accept that those three are there and we're trying to figure out, look, you got to do this by eras because, yes, we understand Wilma Rudolph and a lot of other things like that. But if we're looking kind of more modern, who do you think fits in that 4 spot?
Ooh, modern? So somebody that's playing right now or within last decade?
Yeah, let's just say this century.
This century. I feel like you've got it covered. But what, you need 4 to be in?
Yeah, so that's 3.
That like makes the,
yeah, you can include coaches as well.
Okay. I don't know. I feel by default that I need to throw out a female candidate for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I might think about Miss Amy. You know, bringing the draft to Nashville, I think, was a huge win for her. Haven't brought that Super Bowl yet, but the you know, transition here to Nashville and everything coming from Houston and all that, that I think that could be something. Gosh, I don't know. That's stiff. I mean, I want to put Derrick Henry and just his stiff arm on there already. But.
Well, see,
we'll see what's next.
Yeah, well, one of the questions we asked was, is Derrick Henry going to inevitably end up there? If we have a couple more years of this, yes. But is he going to even dethrone one of the three that's there? The other name that we threw out, and there's a bunch, but Tim Corbin is also a name that we threw out.
Yeah.
As well, another kind of out-of-the-box guy. But yeah. Feels like Derrick Henry ending up on any kind of a Mount Nashmore makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, we talked in the segment about things to prove. I think he's got absolutely nothing. I mean, you've come to the right place. I'm actually a Hall of Fame voter for Belmont. And, you know, some of the criteria that we talk about is being, you know, legendary. You win an award. You win that end of season award with statistics and, you know, the play on the court, on the field, on the ice. But you enter a Hall of Fame by making an impact and by being a part of history. And so I think you've got that when it comes to Derrick Henry, and that he's been a part of history. He has, you know, now that we're in this new era, he has those viral moments, those things that are unforgettable. So I think, gosh, he could be done at the end of the year, and I think he'd be right up on that Mount Rushmore. It's crazy to say, but he's already done enough to, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier about telling the story of mm-hmm. the Titans. I mean, yeah. 2,000-yard season with a 17-game season coming up next year, and a chance to go back-to-back, having some of those, you know, viral moments with the stiff arms and running through the playoffs to the AFC Championship. Yeah, I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, one final thing here. We just have a few seconds left, but do the Predators have to do anything further this season to look back on this favorably, considering where they were 2 months ago?
I think they have to win this first round.
Okay.
I'm of the, I believe that it in a bubble, this is great and this is exciting and they've turned the season around, but this should not be what the standard is. We've fallen so far from making a run to the Stanley Cup final to winning the President's Trophy. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got a lot of the same core guys, and it's just kind of fallen off a cliff. And this is huge, and it's great that they've been able to come back and to make the playoffs and to come into it with so much momentum and excitement. But another first-round exit, I don't think that's good enough for this franchise that not too long ago was lighting the city on fire and making a run to win the whole thing and to hoist the cup and then, you know, winning the President's Trophy and all that they've got. I just don't think that a first-round exit should be the standard for this Predators franchise in this moment.
Emily, it's always a pleasure.
Yes.
We always look forward to the conversations. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. That's Emily Proud, News Channel 2. Yeah, what she said about Urban Meyer?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. She's so spot on, man. So spot on.
Also thought the point about the comparison of Pekka and Tom Brady is really interesting. Now, obviously, the hardware with Tom Brady mm-hmm. changes that calculus a little bit. But how many times have we thought, oh, he just walks off after a Super Bowl mm-hmm. and he comes back and he keeps winning? If Pekka still thinks he can play, obviously nobody's going to force him to retire unless nobody would hire him. But somebody's going to hire him. If he wants to play, he can continue to play. I guess I just feel like that. I feel like the skills have eroded enough to where you don't have many opportunities if you're Pekka to get last night back.
Yeah, we say that, but year in and year out, we see guys that are hired and be like, hey, you still playing? One of the guys that always pops out to me is Andrew Whitworth. Like, he's still on a roster, man, doing this thing because he has a service that's good enough. So we'll see how it turns out for Pekka, man.
We'll read some of your best comments when we come back. If you want to join us, we won't have that much time to do it, but 737-1045 if you want to get in any more on the Mount Nashmore or Mount Knoxmore deal as well. If you missed Emily, if you missed last hour with Trey Wallace, you missed some good conversations, podcast is wherever you get your podcast. 5-star review, we would appreciate that. And we'll be right back in 5 minutes here on 104.5 The Zone. If you had one shot, Bob Baffert, you blew it.
Oh, my God.
New statement from Bob Baffert acknowledges Medina Spirit was treated with Automax, which contains betamethasone. So much for cancel culture.
Yeah.
For the horse.
He tried to run with that yesterday. I was like, can he actually do this?
You stupid idiot.
I know.
Also, Baffert, don't think he understands what cancel culture is.
We were rooting for you.
So here's what he says.
I wasn't rooting.
No, not really, but yeah.
Well, this is a long statement. I don't feel like reading it. Short version is he realized he was wrong. Either he knew it ahead of time or he found out after the fact that they were using something that had a substance in it.
Church Hill said, hey, call us out if you want to. Get these mitts. Get these hooves. That's basically give Baffert a demerit because he knew and he celebrated.
Demerit.
Thank you. He knew and he celebrated.
He just figured he could talk his way out of it.
So did he? I'm guessing he gave it to the horse right before the race to make it feel good or something. It's anti-inflammatory. So he basically gave him a Toradol shot.
I have no idea.
Toradol is basically anti-inflammatory. If you got something going on, it's been the subject of a very strong like NFL with giving guys drugs that basically shut down their liver for a while, but you feel like Superman when you're on it, as far as not feeling anything.
So I'll read the first part from Baffert's statement because this is baffling. On May the 8th, I was informed by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission that Medina Spirit allegedly tested positive for 21 picograms of betamethasone. On May the 9th, 2021, I held a press conference in which I stated I intended to thoroughly investigate how this could have happened and that I would be completely transparent throughout the process. I immediately began that investigation, which has resulted in me learning of a possible source for the betamethasone, and now, as promised, I want to be forthright about what I have learned. Okay. And then he goes into detail, blah, blah, blah. So here's the deal. That's fine, but don't go on television yesterday and start talking about they just want to knock us down, this is a cancel culture type of thing. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, my God.
Also, don't speak for the horse. Let the horse speak for itself.
I know. Stop speaking
Let
for
Mr.
the
Ed
horse.
Let Mr. Ed handle it for himself.
Here, this horse is feeling glorious on race day. Why? Because you injected it with some filth.
You know.
You injected it with some spirit.
You know.
Yeah.
He was Medina before that day, and he became Medina Spirit that day.
Horse's representation's pissed.
I know the horse. The people that actually own the horse? Yeah.
Yesterday, I was informed that one of the substances in Automax is betamethasone. While we do not know definitively, this was the source of the alleged 21 picograms found in Medina Spirit's post-race blood sample, and our investigation is continuing. I've been told by equine pharmacology experts, that's a thing, that this could explain the test results. As such, I wanted to be forthright about this fact as soon as I learned of this information.
Or you could have waited before shooting your mouth off
this. That's the deal. How about you don't take any interviews yesterday? Don't talk to Dan Patrick. Don't talk to Fox News. Don't talk to anybody. Sit down, shut up, wait until that. Again, you didn't need to get in front of this.
Oh.
You were already well behind it when it started. Just stay quiet until you get to the end of it and say, you know what? We found this out. We've been using this supplement. We didn't know it had this substance inside it. Sorry.
You know, that's a lie again, because he said, what, five in the last, what, year?
Five, and then like over 30 have tested for being some kind of dirty in his career.
Ain't nothing worse than being behind a horse.
To Shafe's point,
spot the lie.
The people that bought their horse, sent them to him, and you know he's charging a high premium to take on anybody's horse.
For real. I mean, it costs a lot to do whatever he does to his hair.
Yeah,
looks like that monkey over there.
That's what I'm saying. He screwed.
But that monkey's got more integrity.
The stud fee went from sugar to you know what, man. Boy, boy, boy. Then he tried to.
Let's go to Matt in Nashville real quick before we get out of here.
Up,
Matt, what's up?
Hey, man. About Mount Nashmore, I think you know Steve and Eddie, of course, but it would hurt me personally to not have Frank up there with him. I just think. You know, there's the three of them to me. And sure. Also, you know, and maybe he needs his own statue, but Mike Keith is amazing.
We're definitely leading the charge on getting
no
Mike
problem
Keith
with that.
Is.
You can put a statue in here right now. We'll put a J. Martin Ramone sweatshirt on it right next to Coach Mac.
Let's get a cutout for it already.
For real. You hit a button on the bottom of it and it goes, sack! Sack! There it is.
There it is.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Bucky is coming up next. I can't believe I said that. I don't want to say that ever again. Buck Rising is coming up next. I can't stand that. Falcon and the Winter Soldier out here.
Bucky. He probably would hate hearing that. So, hey, Bucky.
James Bucky Rising.
Bucky. Come here, Bucky.
Coming up
here,
next.
Our God.
Man. Our time is up. Enough pettiness for one day. We'll do it again tomorrow. Congrats to James Lewis and Trey Wallace for being co-champions. Be a unification bout tomorrow. No, we give out the title anew each day. Thanks to everybody for your contributions this morning. Thanks to Emily Proud and Trey Wallace. Thanks to Ramon. Thanks to Schaefer. And no thanks to me, but we'll do it all again tomorrow at J. Martin Ramon on Twitter.
Mikey said the Winter Soldier is coming up next. But remember, your Twitter finger and your mic is always hot, baby.